morning, everyone. We are going to do some doable holiday plan coaching. What? Going to learn how to eat through the holidays like boss ladies that we are. Let me make sure I got the right mic on so that you guys aren't
getting a tremendous echo. That should be way better. Get suited up. Suited up and ready to go. All right, so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about holiday doable plans. That's going to be the coaching today. So if you don't want to be coached on a holiday doable plan, please do not raise your hand, because I want this call to be very focused on the holidays and how we plan to be able to be around foods that we haven't been, maybe haven't been around for a long time. I know, like personally for me, it's so funny. I'm not a sweet girl. And we've been watching the Great British Bake Off. And so Chris and I have decided that we are becoming bakers. Like, oh, this looks so fun. It looks so relaxing. Like, I want to be able to decorate cakes, everything. So we ordered the KitchenAid Artisan, I believe, which is supposed to be legit. And we just got in. First of all, we ordered way too much shit. Like, we've made one lemon poppy seed bread. We have everything you need to make anything and everything you would ever want. But last night we got excited because we got our ice cream attachment and we got our pasta attachment in. I'm just like, mama's fixing to make some homemade pasta. So we're actually today cooking something. We haven't figured it out yet. So when I get off this call, I'm going straight to the Kroger and I'm going to get us whatever we need. We're thinking about baking. Actually, I think we're going to bake biscuits. I think that's what we decided to do, is do biscuits, so that we, I wanted to make some crock pot chili because it's cool out. And then we were going to have biscuits tomorrow. I was going to make some eggs and bacon first thing in the morning for Logan so he can have one of his favorite country boy breakfasts. But I want to talk about the holiday doable plans because I'm like you guys. I have not been around cakes and ice creams and things like that in a long time. Whenever I have that stuff, I just have it when I go out to eat. I just plan for it. But I've never baked. We don't really order that stuff. And it's not. It has nothing to do with restriction or anything like that. It's just like, we just don't have it around. You know, it just hasn't been important to any of us. And there's lots of foods that I do like. So it'll be different for me to be around these foods. So I'm going into it. And what I highly recommend you guys doing is, if you've, like, you know, let's say you've leveled your food up. You used to be somebody who ate pizza every night, cake all the time, round the clock, cookie dough, all the things. And this year you're like, you know what? I've really gotten to where I enjoy my fruits and my vegetables. And like when I snack, I'm having like apples and all the things, right? So you don't have that stuff around as much, but you want to bake this holiday season. You might be feeling some angst. Your brain will first go to, which was my brain wanted to go to first, was, oh God, this is probably going to be hard. You're not used to being around this kind of food. And then I just calmed myself down and just said, you know what? That's very natural for my brain to think that. And then I went to the land of telling myself, you're always in control around food. Like, there's like, when you eat a salad, you don't seem to have problems. So let's not try to equate that just because we substitute in cake that suddenly we're going to have problems. We do know the skill of putting our hand to our mouth in a responsible way because we do it with these foods. The only thing that changes with all this other stuff is, am I going to panic? Am I going to get scared? All because of how I'm allowing myself to think. So I started telling myself, it's going to be all right. You do know how to eat. There's plenty. There's more meals across your lifetime. Even with all the times that I was overweight, I am sure I have ate more meals where I stopped when I had enough than I have when I've just been like, oh my God, I can't control myself. And so there's that. And then the next thing is, I've been thinking about, what if it's going to be so amazing and easy to be someone who bakes and to be around all these foods, and you just are like, see, I know exactly what I'm doing. Like, let's picture that. Let's visualize that. Let's not visualize going face down in shit. Let's not visualize restricting ourselves. Let's not think that we can't have these things. They just go on a doable holiday plan. And then the last thing that I'm doing is, I'm also wanting to hear whatever it is my brain does. I really am like curious that as I keep making these foods, what's going to be different? What is my thinking going to be around them? And the moment that you drop into just listening and being curious, what can't happen with curiosity and listening is judgment, resistance, and shaming. Judgment, resistance, and shaming only gets you to either eating the foods or feeling like ass and not having them. That's the only two things that ever happens. So what I want to do is I want to just be like, I am okay if my brain goes back to old diet mentality. I want to be okay if my brain gets a little scared and panicky. I want to notice it so I can work with my brain, so I can talk to it, so I can calm myself down. I'll get plenty of practice over the next few months of noticing what my brain does and calming it down and having a new conversation. And that's how I want a lot of you thinking about your holidays, because I think sometimes you go in and you think your thoughts are bad. These are going to screw me up. This feels so terrible. I shouldn't be thinking like this. I need to think more positively, or bad things are going to happen. None of that's true. That's just another layer of thinking in the think, feel, do cycle. It usually feels like but. So I want you guys thinking about, can I just be okay with all the thinking that comes up, even if it's old stuff, even if it's diet mentality? And can I, in those moments, allow myself to practice new ones? Can I be okay with it all? Can I be at ease with that thinking? Can I allow that to be an opportunity to reinforce with myself all that I have learned, who I want to be in all of this? Okay, let's go. Joanne, remember, raise your hand if you want coaching, and it needs to be on holiday doable planning, anything around that stuff. All right, Joanne, are you ready? There you go. Hey, how are you? There's a familiar face.
Good, thanks. You always look freaking gorgeous, by the way. And
thank you.
Yesterday's lipstick was like very fun. And so thanks for being fun to look at and listen to.
Thank you. I think I had a brown Huda lipstick on yesterday. It was one of my Huda lipsticks. I'll have to look it up and let y'all know what it was. I should just write all my lipsticks down for everyone, because y'all tend to love them. So the
glass frames. Beauty is a big deal to me, like art, beauty, natural stuff. So you're an extra gift to me that way.
Oh, well, thank you. That's so nice. What a nice way to start the day.
Yay. So I'm looking forward to you and Jane doing the Binge Better in December. And I really, really appreciate you having a heart for us. Yes. Appreciate that. It's just like neat that you know, there's room for imperfection, I guess, but still growth. It's like a funny mixture, but, you know, here you are, this amazing no BS woman, and your best friend Jane is an amazing no BS woman who also binges sometimes. So, yeah. Anyways, very cool.
Yeah, we were Marco Poloing this morning, and she had left me a big long message yesterday talking about it, and we were both talking just about some of the concepts she's going to be teaching, and said we're both really looking forward to it. I have known Jane for a long time. There is no one in the world who works harder on studying this and understanding her binging. And I've been lucky enough. I think it's really helped me for you guys to be her best friend through all of this, because it, you know, I get to see, like, she really lets the curtain down with me. Like, there's only one other person in the world that she talks so intimately and candidly with, and that's her husband. And I think that she was talking more to me for a while about it before she was even letting him in. And now she lets him in equally. But it's just one of those things where I think for me, and I mean, I'm not a, y'all know I'm not a therapist. I don't have those kinds of degrees. But my mindset is, like with everything, that it's not a bad thing. I think it get, because it's eating disorder, as if something's wrong with you. It has such a heavy connotation. Mm-hmm. And when she presented with me this idea that she would love to do something called Binge Better, mm-hmm. where it's, we're going to unwrap the shame off of it. And we're going to not make it a bad thing. I've coached her so many times on, Jane, just sometimes you binge. It's obviously not stopping you from being an amazing person. Like, I watch you do athletics and I watch you be an amazing best friend and you're a great wife. And like, there's like all these things. And she just spent years torturing herself because she binges. Mm-hmm. I was just like, no, it's a no. We're not doing this anymore. And so that's how it all kind of evolved. And she came to me with this and I was like, I for sure want you to teach this. So anyway, I'm glad you mentioned that. So what am I coaching you on today?
So I have no problems with doable plans, because I want it to go with me everywhere. I tend to write it on this paper first thing in the morning, no problem.
That's awesome.
I tend to do in bigger letters, best foods.
Yeah.
And then smaller letters, good foods near the bottom of the list. And then I, you know, circle them throughout the day. It's more like a kind of a menu. So it works, but I'm not losing weight.
Well, this is what we have to decide. So when you say it works, we have to decide, is that okay, true? Right. Like, it might work in one way. So when you say it works, give me two reasons why it's working in your mind.
So I think it fulfills the requirements of a doable plan.
Okay.
So that doesn't trip me up.
Okay.
I think that's what I mean. It works. So I write it down and it's doable. And I'm not the person who struggles with, lofty ideas that I won't fulfill.
Okay. So it works to make sure that you're eating what you say you will do.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the result you're getting. But if you want the result of weight loss.
Yes.
Then what we have to do is we have to start challenging the person who, like, I think what's happened, and this happens often, and don't freak out. But with the doable plan is that a lot of times we get like, oh, we feel so good that we're following our plan and we're so comfortable that we forget to start challenging ourselves.
Yeah. So I don't forget to start challenging myself. I often don't want to. And I know that's, or there's just like this huge,
well, let me ask you
huge resistance.
Why? Why is there big resistance to challenging yourself a little bit on your plans to make them a little bit more, there's probably a couple of things on there. Maybe one thing a day you could start dropping. There's, what's going on there? What is the resistance?
And I do that, like probably every day I know for a fact, every day there's numerous things that I choose, not to eat. I've done urge jars that have worked really great. But I think it's connected to when that kind of binge thing gets going. It's just kind of like.
So let me ask you this then. Are you still binging?
Yes.
So let's pull this apart then.
Okay.
I really want you to see what's happening. Your doable plan, if you, like, let me just tell me your opinion.
Yeah.
If you followed it without the binges, do you feel like weight loss would be happening?
Yes.
Okay. So we just really want to focus on the binging.
Okay.
We just don't want to focus. Like, what I don't want your brain is to start thinking like your doable plan is working to keep you committed and to your word. We've got to decide what result you really want.
Yeah.
And very often when it comes to ending binging or binging better and stuff, weight loss can't be the result that we seek. We really need to get our minds trained and focused on reducing the binging, reducing how much of a binge we have, reducing the shame around it, reducing the frequency of them, being able to, you know, like the capacity to stop yourself in a binge at some point before just finishing it is a huge milestone for binge eaters. Like most binge eaters are like, just teach me how not to do that anymore. It's like, good luck. We have to do the same thing that we do with like when we, even just for my overeaters, you know, the capacity to be able to notice when you're overeating and stop, even if you blow past enough, the capacity to stop and not finish because you're beating yourself up over it, or you think you did it wrong, so you might as well, like all overcoming all of those roadblocks are huge milestones in the weight loss journey. Just like in binging, like first milestone for you is probably going to be, how can we start setting up a plan to where when you're binging, they don't complete themselves.
And I have made a lot of progress, like some of the things you're mentioning, even about overeating. I am noticing in the middle, you know, or even before it starts, I'm noticing that I'm choosing to allow it to start. I'm stopping at a point where I would not normally have stopped before. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for that progress, and I appreciate your saying that's a big deal. I don't know if this is just too simplistic, but it's like there's this huge part of me that doesn't want to lose weight.
Well, don't. If there's a huge, like, let's just check why. What is the part? I mean, this is the thing I think that I really want to talk to you guys about a lot. Some of you really like yourself and your body and your weight and stuff, but you feel like you need to lose weight because of, I don't know, you used to weigh this in the past, or you think somebody will like you better, or you think, well, the doctor said, or whatever. Like, we have all these thoughts that we're driving, but at the end of the day, we don't even want it. So, but we need to check and see, why don't you want to lose your weight? Because there's no right or wrong answer here. I just want to hear your thinking on it.
I don't want to battle, or I don't want to resist urges all the time. Like when I feel like resisting urges.
So that's a terrible reason.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
I know. Super immature. Like,
no, it's not immature. This is the reason why that reason is terrible is there's no growth for you. And you have the fatal flaw in your brain that I'm going to have to suffer through urges. I have to resist urges. What if through the pursuit of saying no to your urges, you learn how to be compassionate and talk to yourself in a way and understand what you truly need, that it becomes one of those ways where like every urge teaches you one step closer to really loving yourself, to taking care of yourself in ways that you need to, understanding, like, you know, for a lot of people, I'm like, when you say resist, this is so funny. I have gotten to where these days, and this is more recent because I've been trying to do a little work for you guys. Just some stuff I want to do next year with everyone on how do you love urges? Because you guys hate them. I'm like, all right, if they hate them, I got to teach them how to love them. Like that to me just seems like the answer, right?
Yeah.
So I've been trying to figure out how do I love my urges? How do I love, for me, it's always the urge for wine.
Yeah.
And it has literally been working more on defining what every urge is going to mean to me, how I'm going to show up for them, what they could be telling me, what invitation are they giving me? Most urges are really knocking on the door of self-care. They're saying, I love you so much and I want to take care of you right now. But if you're not going to listen and you're just going to argue with me and you're going to do all these things, let's eat because I just don't want you beating us up anymore. And most of you, when you're dealing with urges, I guarantee you the conversation is 9 times out of 10 punitive. This is going to last forever. It literally sounds like it goes from sounding like a teenager doing advanced trigonometry and thinking that the homework's going to last forever and just whining and dreading and like slogging through their homework and talking about it like it's the, like, I'll never use this. This is the worst thing. Think of a whiny ass teenager doing math, right? Then we switch gears. We're like, oh, well, since we're so miserable here, let me bring the parent in who's like, for fuck's sake, quit yelling. I can't stand it. Just get your damn homework done. Like, and then we wonder why we're like, you know what I'd like to do, Corinne? I don't want to lose any weight. These urges are a bitch. So it's like, let me keep my weight. Let me keep the urge. Let me just eat when I obviously have a self-care problem. Mm-hmm. Rather than learning how to have a self-care solution.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes time.
Hmm. That's good.
Thank you. I would love to be able to say that every time I'm talking about Logan and the homework and stuff, that it's actually him, but he is not that kid. It's just, I think I've listened to so many of you bitch about your kids. My son actually gets in there and never complains. I'm like, you need to complain. Like, you need to start doing something to convince me that you're 18.
Yeah. I actually had, my psychologist recommended I go see an energy worker that she really thinks a lot of. And when I shared this with that woman, she said, is it possible that that there's something inside of me that has not had a voice that felt I could say, no, I don't want this, which is part of my healing journey, that I didn't say no. And so it made sense, but it's like, okay, I'm glad if this part of me feels comfortable now speaking up.
Yeah.
But.
But I think I definitely think that could be part of it. I don't want to overstep over there.
Yeah.
But you've got to decide that when you're having an urge, is it coming from, like, I almost think, I'm going to just assume you were abused because that's usually what ends up happening. And when somebody's like, no, you know, like didn't want something to happen to them.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to just decide in the moment, is the urge, it's almost as if you're treating it like, it's trying to abuse you versus it's trying to signal that you do need to stand up for yourself. Mm. Like, the urge is saying something outside of us is triggering us to feel scared and threatened. And the urge is like, I want to take care of you. And the only way I know how is to get you to eat. I've never been taught another way. So I will come in and I'm going to ask for food and I'm going to make everything feel very urgent. I'm going to do all these things.
Yeah.
And because you didn't have the capacity to say no then.
Yeah.
I think it's now. It's like, this is the way I always think of the urge voice, especially for people their urge voice developed probably when they were younger and something happened. It doesn't even have to be abuse, guys. It can literally be like your parents, you know, always said, like, if you got good grades, they're like, well, good, because you're supposed to. Like, they just were never happy with you or whatever. You want to, a lot of times, I like to think of that urge voice as more that young person who did not have a voice, mm-hmm. and that's who's coming into the room. It triggers that old, like, younger you to come in and say, like, something is not right in our world and I'm here to save the day. And the only way I know how is what I've learned in the past. And so now you come in as this version of you who's more healed, who kind of has looked at everything and understands what's going on and says, let's work together on this. We don't need to eat. And here's why. Mm-hmm. We are now learning how to say no. Mm-hmm. to whatever it is that's triggering us. And then for some people with trauma, it's not even an actual real thing happening. It can be a smell. Mm-hmm. It can be a sound. It can be something in their external world that just replicates that memory that's really deep in there. And it sends up all that fear and anxiety all at one time. So just some stuff to think about, but
yeah,
I just wouldn't, it would, and I'm not saying for the weight loss, work on your urges, because you can develop such a stronger relationship with yourself, which it sounds like you really want and crave. Mm-hmm. Don't stop working on the urges just so it can be easier.
Yeah.
It's because it sounds like they're inviting you to like take a step forward in loving yourself.
I really appreciate that insight. That's a really beautiful reframe. And I honor you, and I'm so grateful for your whole weight loss journey and brain science journey. But also, I heard a replay of either yesterday or the day before where you were sharing some of your urges with alcohol journey, mm-hmm. and all your journaling and all your gathering data and which wines make you feel okay and which wines don't. And I just, you know, that's amazing. That's really amazing. So
it's just literally, it's just a process of deciding at some point that like, I literally have just decided I'm not going to sit around and think I'm broken anymore. And I'm not even going to look for broken problems and all this other stuff. I'm going to look at the things that I know. I'm like, you know, this is probably not getting me where I want to go. Let's just get to work on figuring it out. Like I've just decided to remove a whole layer of feeling like my life's supposed to be hard or feeling like it's always supposed to be a struggle for me. I grew up with like my single mom. I was just very conditioned to struggle. I'm very conditioned to hard. I'm very conditioned to a lot of stuff. And I just kind of decided I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm going to work on stuff from the aspect of, we're just going to figure some stuff out and we're going to probably enjoy learning it. And like, I just wanted to give myself the relief of all that. Yeah. If I'm going to figure something out anyway, I might as well figure it out from relief.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Thanks, Corinne. I'm going to fall in love with urges.
All right. Get after it, lady.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yes. Wednesday's live. That was on Wednesday, November the 11th, guys. I talked about it in that Q&A. Lisa Smith. Luau. My cat is down here playing with all the things.
Well, hey.
Parenting coach.
How's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
Good. Excellent. Sorry, I'm doing this from my phone. I usually get on Zoom on my computer, but I'm on my phone.
Oh, that's all right. My cat is going crazy with a lid in here. I don't know if y'all can hear him. He's just like, wah! What are we coaching on?
Oh, it's so good to see you, Corinne. Well, I think you actually just coached me with the previous caller when you said, you know, you got to fall in love with urges. And we're just going to figure some stuff out. But when I got on the call this morning, I was thinking, what, you know, I really, really, really want to lose some weight over the holidays this year.
Okay. We'll just do it.
And yeah, let's. And my brain immediately wants to say, but it's so hard, Corinne, right?
That's what it wants to say.
Yeah. It does. I guess that's what I need coaching on. I'm wrestling. Like, this happens to me. I want to set a goal. Like, the holidays are coming. Let's be that girl that, you know, woman that loses weight over the holidays. And then I immediately get bombarded with, oh, it's going to be hard. And, you know, there's going to be baked goods. And, you know, there's going to be this and that. And it's like I talk myself out of it before I've started, but then I keep going through the motions.
So let me ask you this. Do you spend any time when all of that comes in on just like writing it down and then saying like, and what if it's not as hard? What would that be? And there's going to be baked goods. So how will I handle them? And like taking each one and coming up with just, this is the most doable solution for this thought.
Not at all.
Well, no wonder you're like talking yourself out of it, because this is the problem. If you only let all of that come on, and this is what a lot of us do, is we'll have all those kinds of thoughts and we'll know like, oh gosh, yep, that's going to be tough to lose weight if I'm thinking those things. Like, we get so aware of our thinking, but we stop with awareness. We're just like, I'm just aware of my shitty now. Now we've got to not only be aware of it, but we have to say like, okay, if my brain is going to want to go there, then I need to give it the next step, like directions.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I thought awareness was enough, but now that you say that, yeah.
Sometimes awareness is enough when you catch a thought that is like obviously shitty, and it's super easy to be like, well, no, that's horseshit. There's going to be about, I would say 20-30% of our thinking that once you get aware of listening to yourself, just like this morning, I'm not going to go into all the details.
Oh, please do.
But I hate the Marriott right now. They are making my 2021 event life, this is a thought, miserable.
Okay.
Like, they're just like, it's just all the kind, like, guys, all I want to do is teach y'all how to fucking lose weight. I do not like contract negotiations, and I don't like it when they're changing things and all this other shit. So I woke up this morning. My first thought is like, fucking Marriott, they shouldn't be treating us this way. We held it this year. You know, nobody, like, my brain was just like Yosemite Sam jumping up and down with fire out of his nose. And I literally stopped myself and was like, okay, there is not jack shit you can do for the next 5 days on this. That was when awareness kicked in and I was like, we're not doing it. And I just like, literally, it was enough. That awareness was enough to just stop thinking about it. I just told myself, no upside, girl. So I'm done. The problem comes with awareness is if you have thoughts that just keep coming back, plus they feel true,
mm-hmm,
then you've got to go beyond awareness. This is where we have to start reconditioning. We have to start on paper creating the new line of thinking. Like, and it's, I think for when it's going to come to weight loss this holiday, it's not even for you, it's not going to be enough to just write down your thoughts in a shiny new one. It's like, literally write down these thoughts, write down, like, it's not going to be hard because here are the things I'm going to do. And these things are very doable. You have to convince yourself that there's a different narrative. And you have to really write about it. Then go and make your plan. But what I watch a lot of you do is get really aware of your crap thoughts and try to come up with shiny new ones. And then you go make a plan based on thoughts that you haven't convinced yourself are going to be the way we're going to think.
Mm-hmm. The reconditioning and the, I have to convince myself, is the work that I'm not doing. And it's probably the difference maker. Because I'm doing exactly what you said. I'm having the old thoughts. I'm having shiny new thoughts. And then I move on with my day. I make my plan. And then I'm trying to stick from it from the place of arguing, the argument between the shiny new thought and the old thought. I'm not convicted to the new thought yet.
Yeah, our new, like, I like to think of, like, we're going to do this at camp when we do the Thought Ladder Marathon, but I want you guys to, I could be thinking thought, to start getting them way more doable. So, like, when you think weight loss is going to be hard, like, I could be thinking, sometimes it's going to feel hard, but I have a great plan
that's
based in reality. You know, like then it's almost like your brain's like, well, I can get in on that one. You know, like, I'm going to come up with plans that are based in reality. You know, like I'm just going to work towards weight loss. And here's all the ways that I'm going to do it that feel like really right, really doable. You know, each day I'm going to think about it a little bit, like all those things. Like, you have to like really convince yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you guys spend enough time convincing yourself. I think you spend enough time just in awareness, not liking that you have awareness, or like, I've got awareness, I better think these good things. And it's just like you said, it feels terrible because all day long you're just negotiating with yourself. Like that could be thinking thought needs to literally feel like it's true. Not idealistic.
Yeah. I am spending little to no time convincing myself and almost all my time negotiating with myself. And I think it's exactly what you said. The negotiating is, it's tiring, it's old, it's exhausting, it wears me down, and it sometimes leads to, let's just go get a pumpkin scone. You know? Yeah. 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 So I really
because it's going to be hard. Might as well eat a scone so you can prove yourself true. And well, I think you even said, and there's baked goods. It's like your brain takes it out, you know?
Yeah, I too am in love with the Great British Bake Off, and it makes me want to bake all the, I mean, I don't bake, but I would love to. But I think, you know, my assignment over the holidays is spending time convincing, not negotiating. What a gift to give myself. Because if nothing else, it will feel better. Because what I can tell you at this point in my life, because I've been doing the negotiating with myself probably since I was 10, and it does not feel good. It does not help me feel good about myself, and it doesn't net the result I'm looking for.
Right. Yeah. I think one of the things I would recommend you and everyone to do is, you know, if you're going to lose weight this holiday season, like spend a good hour, like carve you out an hour where you're really going to think on this, and you're going to let your brain throw a fit with all of its thoughts.
Okay.
And then you're going to like come up with, you know, well, all right. So for every thought, I know this is going to be one of my obstacles throughout the holidays. Not only here's how I want to think, but here's what I'm going to do when these thoughts come up. And here's also what I'm going to do anyway. So it's like, when these thoughts come up, I know that I want to do these things. And then I also am going to start planning to do these things. You start really crafting that way a real picture of what the holidays are going to look like.
Yeah, I've never done that. Yeah. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. And then your 24-hour plan every day just gets built based on all that shit. It becomes like your 24-hour plan gets a lot easier to do every day because you've really painted that big picture. That's how I do business. Like whenever I'm going to plan anything for you guys, like I think about, you know, here's all the reasons why it's going to be really hard. Like we're getting ready to change over a few things that you guys will finally get to start seeing a few new things that we're working on for you. And my brain has to have its fit time. And then I build all the strategies out of it.
Yeah.
It's just like what I was talking about with the last person. Let me ask you this. Go ahead.
So if you do that exercise, sorry, my voice is really hard, hoarse today. Let me gather my thoughts. Do you find, Corinne, when you do that hour type thing and you have the fit, then you can get into action and then you're less likely to keep having the fits in the middle of the action because you've got the plan painted and the picture kind of crafted?
I mean, sometimes the fits go down a little bit because there's a little bit of settling with your nerves because like this is the problem. It's like those thoughts are in there and unless you give them direction and shepherd them and, you know, make plans and stuff, they just run. They don't go away. There's nothing that happens. Like they need something else to hang on to. So sometimes you see a reduction. The biggest thing is you hear them and you already have a visual and you already have a plan for them and you already know what you're going to be doing. So they have way less control. They don't feel automatic. They don't slide under the radar. They don't like jack you up as much. I always like to think like with all of the problems that I'm going to face and stuff, I always like to think like I'm already prepared for them. They won't surprise me. They won't shock me that they're here. Like, I know they're coming, and that's okay. Now I have plans for them and stuff. Versus what we do is a lot of times we just uncover our shitty thoughts, and we're like, yep, okay, I need to be aware of that one. And then when it comes, I just need to tell myself this. And then we get shocked that one time we did a think, feel, do cycle, and we just keep having the same thought over and over again.
Okay, that's helpful, because that's how you convince rather than having to negotiate. because you already have the plan laid out. You already have the picture in your mind. So then when the thought comes up, you're convincing, not negotiating with the thought of baked a pumpkin scone.
Yeah. It's like, so my mentor, Brooke, teaches it as the impossible goals and the process. I'll just tell y'all the process super simple. I'm in the process of doing it now for 2021. The first thing you do is you write down the things you would like to do. So let's say that we're just going to do it for the next 6 weeks, since we have what, about 6 weeks left until the new year.
Yeah. Like 49 days till January 1st.
Okay. So we're all going to have a 49 day plan, right? So we start first with, we decide in the next 49 days, what is one thing we want to accomplish? Let's say we all agree today, like every NoBS woman's losing 4 pounds before January 1. We got 6 weeks to lose 4 pounds. And so we all agree we're doing that. We have our date. The next thing we do is we have a hissy fit. We write our hissy fit out. We're like, here's all the reasons why it's going to be hard. Pumpkin scones, number one. The baked goods.
Let's just get that on the list.
Yeah. The like I got this week, it was so funny. We have this new company we're working with for it's something we're doing for you guys that I can't announce it yet, because but it's coming in like 3 weeks.
Between you,
I wish I could, but I can't do it until it's. We got to prove it's actually working. It's like halfway there now. So anyway, they sent us, I fucking kid you not, a tall ass caramel corn popcorn tin. I have talked for years about don't eat caramel corn, and that some douchebag at the office who doesn't really care grabbed it from Walgreens and brought it in. Like I have used that as the example. And I, you know, I work from home, and I literally walked into the room and I said, what the fuck we got a popcorn tin for? It was the most funny moment. So anyway, so you put like popcorn tin, my mama's baked goods. Like I'm going to go to Thanksgiving and all my favorites are going to be sitting there. Like you literally just go through and right. You write every excuse. Like I haven't even conquered my 8 p.m. urges. How am I ever going to lose weight if I've also got the holidays? Like your brain will come up with all of it, but you got to give it airtime, because if you don't find all the thoughts, then you don't have a plan for them, because that's right. Step two. We take every one of the whiners, and you literally, for the next few days, I like to do this for a few days. I don't try to do it all in one sitting. I take each and every thought, and I journal about why this won't be a problem. What I'm going to think, how I'm going to show up, what are the 1,001 ideas? Like here's like 10 different thoughts I can try. Here's like I'll do this with the popcorn tin. I'm going to like be like, you just strategize like hell to not make it a problem. And then you have like all these options and stuff. So you do it for every one of your bullshit thoughts that you can find. Then the next step is, once you've strategized all of them, you will feel after that step a little bit of overwhelm, because you'll have so many good ideas. But I think in the food realm, you'll like, if you're doing it for your business, for your quarterly goals and stuff, it'll be overwhelming, because you'll have so many ideas and so many things you want to do. You'll feel like you don't have enough time to do them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing it for weight loss, I think you'll feel amazing, or you'll feel relief, because it's like, oh, there are so many ways to not make this hard. There are so many ways to not eat my face off when mama brings out chest pie, whatever it is.
Right.
So the third step is, you literally just put on your calendar when you're going to do some of these things. So for all of you, you could literally go pre-date in your 60-day planner the next 49 days, and then just like, you know which day Thanksgiving is, you know which day is, you know, day 8 of Hanukkah, whatever it is. You just go in there and you pre-write in some of the thinking you want to use, some of the strategies you want to employ. You might want to even go in and pre-plan some of the food, what you are going to have, so that when you get there, it's not a surprise anymore. And that's just the last step, is you just start putting it into action.
Oh, I love this.
No, I should shoot a video on this one. Maybe we'll, Dana, tell the coaches we should segment this part out as a quick hit.
Yeah, this is really, I mean, because you know what, Corinne, what I never thought of is, you know, the strategies I want to employ. I just had this like massive endorphin rush in my out of my brain when you said, go into Thanksgiving and put the thoughts I want to think that day, pre-put it in the calendar. So what I'm going to do is put it in my phone as an alarm.
Yeah.
Pop up, right? And then
that's
I'm going to
yes.
put my strategy in the calendar and the alarm so that I'm taking copious notes here, so that I'm convincing myself or collaborating rather than negotiating.
Yeah. I think that's amazing.
Wow. This is gold right here.
All right. We'll get busy. 4 pounds.
Yeah. Hey, before I go.
4 and 49.
Right. Before I go, just a quick thanks again for, you know, letting me do the parent coaching with everybody. I think people are really loving it. And I'm getting just.
Yes. There's no letting you. The community is pretty much demanding. They think you're amazing.
Well, it's a beautiful value add you offer to everybody. And it just, we're such a family, you know. I've never experienced, you know, and I every time I talk about it, I get teary-eyed. I've never experienced community with such a diverse group of women like this. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I think makes this amazing. The joy of the community and the sisterhood while on the journey.
Yeah.
It's, you know, oh, it's beautiful. So my heart is full of gratitude.
Hey, can I ask you, how is Jen doing?
Oh, you can ask me. Yeah.
Or do you want to just message me, or do you want to just say it here? I don't want to say.
Yeah. No. I'll give you the overarching and then I'll message you. She's doing fantastic.
Good.
I talk to her every single day, multiple times a day, and she's put this on Facebook. She just had her surgery,
okay,
and she's on day 11 of her plan through surgery. This woman is doing her plans during surgery, oh, and she is a grown ass. She is the epitome of
a grown ass woman.
She's a grown ass woman. I mean, she's just doing great. Yeah, I'll tell her, ask
and message me a little bit more. But if everybody wonders why I say grown ass woman, something like we're grown ass women. It started with Lisa in her accountability group. That's where it all started. You should tell it on one of your parenting calls one day. You should tell the story of how all that came to be.
I will. Okay. I will. I'll do it on the December call. Cause okay. Yeah, it's a good story. And yeah. So she's doing great. And and our accountability group's doing well too.
Good. All right.
Yeah. Well, so thanks. Much love to you.
Thank
you. All right. See ya. Bye.
All right. Michelle Reinhardt. Hello. How are you?
Good. Oh my gosh. I was like, I'm not getting coached today.
Well, your brain was wrong.
Like push
it often is for all of us. So what are we coaching on?
So I was looking at the topic today and I'm like, doable plans. And I love that it is doable plans and holidays, because so I've noticed these last couple weeks, I had lost 17 pounds. And I noticed these last couple weeks that all of a sudden all my old habits are coming back. Like my plans are what I should be eating.
Okay.
And on top of it, like I just notice I'm having all this anxiety about the holidays coming up, but I'm like not paying attention to it. And this year especially, and it's been these last like 4 or 5 years, because so I got divorced earlier this year.
Okay.
And the holidays to me are like, you know, and I know this is just a thought, but it's like, I just, all these thoughts come up about the holidays and how like they're not the way they should be. And I'm failing my kid, like all this stuff. And I honestly thought I had gotten past all this.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, like, the girl's dad and everything, like, we actually get along better than we did.
Right. Like,
yeah, exactly. So, but the bottom line is, I know a lot of this is habits, and I've been, like, journaling a little bit about it, but I'm kind of taken aback at how, and I don't know if I'm resisting the emotion of it, but, like, last night, I was like, wow, you have, I'm like, that was actually a bit, like, I haven't binged on, like, brownies or anything. Like, I, like, baked brownies and ate the brownies. I'm just like, what is going on?
So what do you think was going on?
I honestly think it's this inkling. Like, my daughter had asked me, like, we were starting to make plans for Thanksgiving. And I just think it's, like, a very unconscious, like, not paying attention to, like, thinking because I've lost this weight, like, thinking I've got it handled. Like, not only, like, because I've lost this weight, plus I'm a coach, like, I have this handled. Like, I'm all good.
Yeah.
And then all this came up, and I'm like, okay, well, like, it's okay if you don't. And, like, let's, like, maybe this is your next level of evolution. But
go ahead.
No. But, like, you know, and I, like, the holiday story is my shitty diaper. And so is beating myself up because I've lost some ground this week. It's like.
All right. So first of all, you haven't lost ground this week. You've uncovered, like, I want you to really stay in the space of, I've uncovered my next level work.
Okay.
This is really common. Like when, so you were saying, I got this kind of stuff. Let me ask you this. In the past, like when we talk about that, do you truly believe you got this? And I mean, before the binge, all right? Like, do you truly believe you have this? And the other part of it is, do you, in the past, have you felt that way?
The answer to no, I don't truly have this because there's still a lot of diet mentality that I'm not paying attention to, for sure.
This is what I think is actually happening. I don't know that you're actually having diet mentality. You could be. But you also, like, for all of you, when you have diet mentality, you guys a lot of times associate what you plan to eat as diet mentality. What you put on your do line is not diet mentality. Diet mentality is your thinking behind the do line. You could eat the same foods, and this is often what happens. It's like, throughout the 17 pounds, what did you think about the foods you were planning?
Like, and sometimes I was just, like, I was excited that, that's right. What I was planning and eating.
So you had no diet mentality then. Only, like, this is where I think that I'm reading this book. I'm going to tell you about this book I'm reading, and then I'm going to give it to you, but I want to say this first. I think what happens is you have reached a point where you really felt really good about what was happening, and you're, like, excited about these foods and stuff, and you basically hit your limit of believing in yourself. And it's like, you exceeded it a little bit. Like, look at me, I'm doing all this amazing stuff and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, whoa, now come on. Weight loss is supposed to be hard. And it's like, and we got the holidays coming and there's all this stuff. So that's probably, with the holidays coming, triggering you to be like, slow your roll. Don't feel so good about yourself. And so then suddenly it's like you're planning the same foods and you're like, ooh, this is what you should plan today. Like, it's like we deny ourselves the ability to be like, maybe I'm as good as I think I am. Maybe I'm like, I am. I'm great at this. And a lot of us are not used to talking to ourselves in a way where we do have this and we believe in ourselves. No matter how much evidence we're giving ourselves, we're so not used to it that at some point, though, you lose enough weight to where you're just like excited and you can't help but have positive thoughts about yourself. And then your brain is like, something's wrong. You're not supposed to be someone who loses all their weight. Like, we've always believed it's going to be hard for you. We've always believed you're going to struggle. You're a binger. What are you talking about? Like, there's the dissonance between the two people. Okay. And it's like a lot of times people will get enough success to where you can't help but believe in yourself and feel good about yourself and stuff. Because the circumstance is triggering you to have positive thoughts, and they're running smack into your belief system.
Okay.
And so what we end up doing is we sabotage ourselves with some shitty thinking first. Like, well, you know, there's no way we can feel this good about ourselves, so let's worry about the holidays. I mean, the holidays are coming. Seriously, like, you know, it's not going to be the way it should be. It's like our brain is looking for a way to make sure we feel bad. Like, I got to make it hard somewhere. So the holidays come, and this is a great place to start. And then we start feeling bad about that. Next thing you know, we're just like, oh, I don't know. And I've lost all this weight. I don't know if I can do it. It's going to be harder in the holidays. Like, our brain wants to give us something negative to chew on to keep us feeling like we're used to feeling. Even in the face of doing amazing things for ourselves. My brain does this like a religion. I was telling somebody the other day, I literally have the life I always dreamed of and never believed I could. And I watch myself very often creating problems and thinking about things in a negative way when nothing's really wrong. I find these things to worry about that are, like, when I look at them from a step back, I can say, like, I can see why you're worried. You're trying not to feel as good as you absolutely could. It's sitting right here. I cried with my coach a few days ago and said, I can see joy, but I can't grab it. And so this book I'm reading, like, came to me, like, I had, like, this 2 weeks where the universe was basically saying, you're fucking amazing and you need to get off your ass and like it. It was coming from every damn angle. And it's so funny because it's like, we get conditioned to thinking bad or thinking negative or feeling neutral about ourselves or feeling or worrying and angst, that the moment you can't help but feel good because of the stuff you're creating for yourself, your brain goes to work on calming you down. So you just have to get aware of when this pattern's happening. I think this is what's happening for you.
Yeah.
Because you said it. It's like, I know rationally that my ex-husband and I have a better relationship. And yet I'm sitting here worried about I'm thinking the holidays should be different. Why? We have a great relationship. I bet your kids love you. You know, it's like if you had to, like, literally talk about it without drama, is it as bad as your brain's making it out to be, what the holidays are going to be?
No. No.
Right.
No. No. And it makes total sense because, like, I have been, like, taking actions in my business. Like, I have a really positive attitude for the most part for the job. Yeah. And for the job I'm in. And, like, all these different things. Like, I know I've made steps. And then, you know, and I did write this in my journal the other day. I'm like, you overeating those, one of my things is, I don't know if you know those Pringle chips, but they're the veggie chips. So they're the healthy version. Like, you eating the can of veggie chips is like, it's like my sign to be like, I know it makes me feel better in the moment, but this is not getting me where I want to go. And it leads into that cycle. I was like, I don't want to go there anymore. You know?
I really think, so there's a book I want you to read and a podcast I want you to listen to. And everybody that identifies with this, I think you should read the book and listen to the podcast. It's You've Reached Your Capacity to Have, which means what I was talking about. It's called Upper Limit Problems. It's basically, at some point, we actually all really do have it good, and we're just afraid to take it all in. Like, I have an irrational fear that when I take it all in, that's when I'll lose it. It's like, but what if I sit around and feel really good about myself all the time? What if I decide to fully embrace and love my body? What if I do all this and something bad happens? It's like, well, okay. Like in my mind, it's like I'll hurt so much more. Rather than thinking you will have enjoyed the ride until the bad thing happens that you'll figure out. There's two options. And I always think option B. I forget about that option. And whatever the bad thing is, if I spend time every single day loving myself, believing in myself, championing myself, being unapologetic for me, then anything bad happens will not be as bad as the version of me encountering it, who doesn't believe it in herself, who's learned to worry, who's practiced dramatizing. Like when a bad thing happens, that version of me has a really hard time showing up for it. Because it just proves everything true. It seems so much worse. I've got all the habits that I need to sabotage myself. It's like the version of me that's just like, we're fucking rocking this out. We're going to believe in ourselves. And like, yes, I'm going to be the unicorn who thinks different. I'm doing all the things, no matter what. Then when something negative happens, I've practiced optimism. I've practiced believing in myself enough to solve it. I've practiced not worrying. Like that is, you know, everything. So here's the book.
Okay.
Somebody guessed it over here. The Big Leap.
Okay.
By Gay Hendricks. I am telling everyone and their mother to read it. I thought I had read it. Everybody's read it. It's not even new. I swore I'd read this book. And then I had my assistant get it for me because somebody had recommended it to me. I was like, well, I'm going to read it again. I'm going to refresh my memory. I was like, I've never fucking read this book. This is when you know you've read a lot of books, when you don't even remember the ones you've read. And then the podcast is by Brooke Castillo, the Life Coach School. It's the one on the capacity to have.
Okay.
Really good podcast.
Well, and I love that you pointed this out because this is definitely not what I was thinking is the issue whatsoever.
I think a lot of us
whoever, but like
are just so determined we have broken thoughts and stuff. It's like sometimes those thoughts are just a signal that we actually are pretty fucking amazing. And they're just like saying, oh, you've reached your limit. You got to go back to practicing how amazing you are. We got to raise the limit now.
Wow.
Because there's so many good questions in that book to answer. That's going to be awesome. Journal on every question that he asks.
I totally will. And I think that there's something too, though. It's like, I'm familiar with eating my face off when I'm stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And when I make up horrifying holiday stories and what else? Telling myself that I really can't do my goals and like it's not possible for me to be this next level. Like it's familiar to go to my veggie chips and whatever else, you know? But it's like, and it's that thing. It's like, I know it's comforting but like, it's comforting for like a half a second now.
Yeah.
And then it's gone.
So what we want to do is we want to get your brain familiar with going to your extraordinary self. And you teach your brain to do that by doing it before you need chips. It happens in all the micro moments of the day. It's like, I have literally been practicing, like thinking crazy, outstanding, amazing thoughts about myself, about the littlest of things. Like if I pet my cat, I will tell myself, you are the best cat mommy. Like I'm just like practicing all of it. And sometimes it feels ridiculous, but I think, God, I can't wait for the day that telling myself amazing things doesn't feel ridiculous anymore.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good day.
Oh, so good.
All right. Slay the holidays. You got this. Bye. No
fudgy chips.
That's right.
only a certain amount of that I plan.
That's exactly it. Get them on that plan. Bye. All right, guys, that's everything for today. If you had a question in Q&A, if you guys will take it over to either Ask Coaches or you can take it to the Facebook group, ask your questions over there. You will get 1,001 answers. We have a full community team answering questions. They'll find you videos where I've coached on it. If you go to Ask Coaches, you can ask a coach anything that you want over there. And the coaches, you know, they pretty much show up inside that Facebook group a lot. So over there. Thank you, guys. I hope today was a good call for you. I feel like we covered some really good topics and some things that you can tell that I'm studying up for you guys. I'm actually reading some of this stuff and studying it because it's things that will be included in that January camp. And as you know, it's like I do camp and I study for it, but I can't help but vomit all the goodness on the calls of what I learned. So y'all have a good one. I'll see everybody at noon tomorrow for coaching. Bye, y'all.